Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
It is. Please stop yelling at me. Please stop yelling at me.
All right.
It's 5:04 a.m. Adam, please stop attacking me.
Oh, it's 5:04? So it's only 5 hour difference.
Yeah, so when they do the fallback, the daylight savings. Fun fact, Adam, I know you like fun facts. Hawaii and Arizona are the only two states that don't honor daylight savings. So it's half the year it's East Coast is 6 hours ahead, half the year it's 5 hours ahead. Right now it's 5 hours ahead.
Hey, you learn something new every day. I love that. I did not know. I knew the Arizona part. I did not know the Hawaii part. That's great.
You know, I didn't know either till it happened.
Yeah. I totally believe that. So, Robert, so there's some exciting news. It sounds like you have put in your 2 week notice in Hawaii. You're going to be coming back to the mainland. Is that correct?
Correct, Adam. I need to be able to train and practice. As I think I've mentioned a little bit, I'm playing a full schedule next year. I'm planning on going pretty hard at them, 25 to 30 tournaments probably. Want to get fit. Want to see some high level play before 2023 starts, and most likely going to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho to train with Mr. McMuffin.
Really interesting. That's exciting stuff. Yeah. He's a good person to practice with. He always tries hard, tries to play the right way in practice, makes a lot of balls. I practiced with him quite a bit early on, so I think you will improve playing with old McMuffin.
So probably 2-3 weeks of that, and then I will either I don't know where I'll go after that. So it's
maybe to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Who knows? Hey, your house looks bright and happy, Adam. I'll tell you that. Is that a little plant that Prof put there?
Yes, but no, actually, that's my plant.
Oh. Did you pick it up?
We have lots of plants. We have very clean air in the house. We have lots of plants. And
tell me about that jungle. Plant. What made you want that one?
Well, it's just nice. It's nice to have some, you know, some foliage around some greenery, and
especially in winter, right?
Yeah, it brightens up my day. It really does. You barely have to water the thing. It's who would have thunk it?
A horticulturalist.
Hey, jack of all trades here. Come on.
All right. Podcast time. We've got, I don't know how many actual real updates we have, but there's the deadline for MLP, as we know, was December 5th, got pushed to, I think, December 8th. Yes. Thursday.
Tomorrow.
So gave people a few more days to figure out what they're going to do, whether they're going to submit their name to the draft. Even though submitting your name to the draft doesn't really lock you into anything. It just puts you in the mix, on the big board. To of available players to be drafted. To my knowledge, it doesn't, like, you haven't had to sign anything to apply for the draft or anything like that. I'm sure you'll have to sign something pre-draft. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of people on the board that, you know, aren't necessarily locked in, and they're just going to look at their draft position. And if they don't like it, they're just going to say, no, thank you. I'm going to carry on. You know what I mean? So I think I'd be surprised if players aren't forced to sign some kind of commitment before the draft. Otherwise, you're going to have people dropping and a lot of shuffling happening.
Right. And also, isn't there a different draft date for the Premier and the Challenger League? Is that correct, Robert?
Yeah. So that's what I heard as well. So the Premier League draft, which is going to be the top 12 teams, the top 48 players, will be on Monday, which
that's before the 15th. Oh, that's before the 15th. Oh, goodness.
Next Monday, Adam, right when you'll be in Hawaii. So maybe we have to do an emergency pod Tuesday morning live.
Might have to do that.
Who knows?
I'm going to be very involved in this draft process, as I've struck up a little verbal agreement, not written yet, with the Hard Eights, Timothy Parks, to be kind of the GM coach of the team. And so the draft is a big deal, and I'm going to have to be ready for all of that action, because a lot of players involved, and these rankings are obviously very, very important.
And you know what else is a big deal, Adam? That you got hired as a GM because you are the most qualified person on this planet to be a GM.
Well, that's a strong statement, but I think I'm definitely in the top couple. That's for sure. So shout out to the Hard Eights and Timothy Parks for taking a shot on me. The guys in their ownership group all seem really cool, really analytical, numbers driven, and very into the pickle and their team. So I'm excited to jump in with them and, you know, kind of give them some pointers and do some player evaluations and some coaching, for the squad. Exciting times, Robert.
Honestly, Adam, that probably wouldn't have happened if you had not tooted your own horn so early and so often. That's what you got to toot your own horn.
Oh, and expect that to continue since it's already reaped some benefits. I think I'm just going to have to continue tooting. I don't see why I wouldn't.
Call me crazy. I think we're going to need a t-shirt that says toot my horn.
Toot my something involving toot my horn and toot. Maybe Hey Shay as well. She got some nice new shirts out. I've seen that.
I wore one for a match this weekend.
You're damn right you did, Robert. You're damn right.
Gotta support the people that support us.
That's right. Support the junkies, man. They're in the mix.
It's a circle. It's a circle of trust.
Hey, I'm in the Discord now. It only took me a month, but I'm in there.
I mean, Adam, I was going to say it shouldn't have taken that long. I don't care how long it took. You're there, and I'm proud of you.
Did you possibly do some form of like sound bite of me being not technologically savvy on Twitter or something like that? Was there a discussion last night of some sort, Robert?
Yeah, so there was a Johnny 5.0, on Twitter. He hosted a Twitter Spaces, which is basically like
I don't know what that is.
It's like a virtual chat, but verbal, where you can, you know, it's basically a conversation where people are muted. Think about like a Zoom call, but like no video. Everybody's talking if you're unmuted, and we just talk about different topic. So I hopped on for like 20, 30 minutes yesterday, talked a little bit about pro pickleball landscape, what's happening, talked about you and how difficult it would be for you to understand what Twitter Spaces is and how to even get on it.
I don't know what it is.
Correct. And I will give Johnny credit. He was like, you know what? You know what's really gangster is that Adam doesn't even have a profile picture on Twitter. And you should never get one, Adam. Just
how do you do that?
Exactly. Don't worry about it because it's so on brand for who you are. Don't ever get a profile picture on Twitter. Don't ever create a bio or a profile ever. Just be Stonewall 3-2-1 and just dominate with your one-liners because that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what I do. That used to be I've won a lot of money under that screen name. That used to be one of my old poker screen names back in the day. Stonewall 3-2-1 and also AC Stone 3-2-1. Either one of those guys had a little success on that digital felt back in the day, Robert.
What was your I don't know if you had this because you know, you have an advance with technology, but did you have the original AIM or AOL?
Oh yeah.
Chat? I had that. What was your AIM chat name? Do you remember?
I'm not sure, man.
I was going to be Rob742, but I remember it was already taken. So I was B Rob742, and that's always been my
channel. B Rob7. There you go. What was the old AOL? It was like sex, age, something. What would people like?
Oh, ASL. ASL, bro. Age, sex, location.
Age, sex, location. Oh, there you go.
It would be like, you know, 12 female, you know, Michigan. It's like, you're for sure a 48-year-old male,
you know, like in his underwear eating Cheetos, you know, chatting with teenagers. That's kind of
creepy. Yes.
Correct. Special stuff for sure. So, where were we? We got distracted. We talked about all this news. Now let's get back to the MLP info. Anything else?
MLP info. Draft got pushed up a bit to the 12th. Deadline got pushed back to the 8th. The challenger draft, which will be after the top 24 men and the top 24 women are picked. So we'll have 12 teams in the premier. We'll have 12 different teams in the challenger. They will they will switch basically after the first season, which is the first three events. Okay. And then all of the Premier League owners will drop down to the Challenger. So each person or each group that owns a team will do one season, three events, and the Premier will do three events in the Challenger. And that's going to be how it's done in 2023. No idea if that's going to be how it maintains in 2024 or whatnot, but that is the plan for this year. The Challenger draft, which is going to be players 25 to 48 of each gender, should be happening sometime after Christmas is what I'm told. I'm assuming that the Challenger events will be happening in tandem with the Premier League at the same, mm-hmm. same venue, same time, all that stuff. It'd be silly, it seems, if it wasn't. But yeah, that seems to be the plan. There's going to be some pretty disappointed people that get drafted 25th. I'll tell you that though.
Yeah. Right.
There's a pretty significant pay drop from that Premier League to the Challenger. So when you hit the, when that 24 versus 25 is going to be it's going to be a tough one for people.
Yeah, that is a little sad. 25 through 30, it's going to hurt a little bit. No question.
One more little fun fact. I don't know if this is official or has been announced yet. But I have it from the most credible source, probably. I don't know if it's actually gone through or if it's actually been approved or confirmed yet. But I am under the understanding that if you get drafted in the Challenger League, 25 to 48, that the requirement of the silver card goes away. So you do not need to play the five PPAs. You do not. So that it's just gone. You're open. You're able to do whatever. But you can still participate in Challenger.
Gotcha. That's kind of how I understood it as well. I'm not playing next year. So you've probably been a little more digging for this information as it's a lot more relevant to you. But hey, it's relevant to me as well as
I'm a high-end content creator slash influencer.
Correct. That's where I was going. Slash GM slash head coach slash commentator. I mean, come on, let's be clear. I might be outside the lines these days, Robert, but I'm doing it all. Okay. So
come on. But I'm doing it all.
So I believe we've also it's been crickets from the APP UTR camp, correct? No announcements from them have been made, or is that incorrect?
No, that's correct. Haven't been many updates in terms of that partnership, what it looks like. I know there was talks about putting a team event together. Nothing's been announced. No news. And it doesn't feel like there's going to be before that draft deadline hits tomorrow, right? Because originally it was supposed to be Monday, and nothing really came out. I know there's a lot of scrambling right now with players trying to figure out where they're going, what's the best deal for them personally, PPA or APP. We don't have a ton of news right now in terms of where people are going and how it's all shaking out. But I can assure you there's a ton going on behind the scenes in terms of players and agents trying to connect with the tours and try to figure out what the best option is for themselves. So
lots of individual meetings going on. I know for a fact. So maybe not a group town hall or whatever you want to call it, but lots of lots of chitting and chatting and negotiating going on.
On another note, Adam, there's talked about this in like a little bit in the Twitter spaces yesterday. Don't know specific details whatsoever. Just know that this is kind of a thing and kind of happening without anything being announced yet.
Okay.
So minor league pickleball, as we know it, was players basically organized their team of four. And I think it was like, you could do, they had a 22, 20, that kind of thing, where where all of your team duper has to equal under that number. Minor league pickleball, as I understand it today, is not that. It is a league with teams and owners that have bought into that league. And it's essentially going to be that a true minor league system that feeds into that develops players and feeds into the major leagues, and that Challenger League and that draft. So, don't know all the details, don't know really any details other than the fact that this is happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fascinating to me that there's going to be a minor league where, you know, you can get drafted and there's team owners, and it's very similar to major league, but it's more of a developmental area for players to get better and to grow and to move up. And I did hear that, I mean, the prize money is not bad. Like, and from who I heard this from, the prize money in minor league pickleball rivals the money in the Challenger League without the appearance fees.
Wow.
So, okay. I mean, we're not talking about no money to play this. We talked a little bit about the significant difference between the Premier and the Challenger, but Challenger, it doesn't seem like there's a big difference between Challenger, Major League, and Minor League. So for the players that don't get drafted in the Major League, you know, Premier or Challenger, they're still going to have options to go out and play pickleball, pro pickleball, and make some cash. So I think it's great. It's just more opportunities to bring more players in. Does that surprise you?
I mean, I hadn't really heard much, if anything, about that, especially the, you know, the structure with actually having team owners and it not being what you said, a combined, I believe combined duper of a certain number, however that may be added up. So, no, that's very, very interesting. And, you know, I don't know if that's something that, you know, eventually down the line will be a complete full-fledged feeder system where you will have a team lined up for major league and have a minor league system as well. You know, I mean, that same thing in baseball, you know, they kind of have player development coaches in the minor leagues and they're kind of grooming their players to eventually, you know, take a spot on the major league roster. So I think it's very cool and very exciting. And I mean, I don't know if it can stand alone right away with everything that's going on and it kind of being early in MLP and they've expanded to 24 teams from a much lower number. So I don't know if it'll just come out on fire or anything, but I think it's a very cool idea for, you know, a little bit down the line. And you said that the prize money was reasonable, so maybe it'll blow up quicker than I think.
Yeah, and I did hear that it's operating independently and it's not part of that PPA MLP merger.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah, that I mean, that matters. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are really the updates I have in terms of the tours and the leagues. Don't know much right now. So,
yeah,
I'm sure this time next week, Adam, is going to be an absolutely completely different story. We'll have the draft completed at that point. I mean, we could do a whole episode on draft preview for the premiere, but you know, not for this one, but maybe when I see you in person, if they can get it out quick enough, or maybe we do it live or something, it'd be fun.
Robert, I'm coming there on Sunday.
You are. And we've got,
I'm coming,
you
know, there.
We've got activities lined up. Sorry. We have an activity lined up because
one,
you limit your daily activities to one, especially if it's 3 hours.
And that's a serious activity. So I was thinking of maybe piggybacking something or maybe doing something Tuesday morning before I leave. But no. Let's stick to the one activity. I think that is sufficient. And then we're going to head to – where are we going? You're on Maui, and then we're going to Kauai for a week for appreciate – shout out. Always got to shout out Mama and Papa Stone. Hooked it up with a little timeshare, a little late honeymoon for me and the prof. So excited to – get that R&R before we kick it off in 2023.
You'll love Kauai. It's different feel for sure. It's more kind of rural, jungly, green, lush, really beautiful. Gets a little bit more rain than Maui, or certain areas of Maui. But I think you're I'm pumped for you guys. That'll be a lot of fun.
Exciting times. Maybe
Adam.
Maybe a couple possible adult beverages for me and you, and we're just going to annoy prof because she can't drink, so it's going to be great.
Well, we're going to annoy prof, but Adam, never forget.
Yes, I know,
prof, I'm the third wheel. But it's me, you, and prof. Not, you're not the third wheel. Prof and I just, you know, we like to share our opinions with you. And
yeah, that's right. And yeah, like when I call her out for being late and you're just like, Corinne, I've never seen you late before ever. This is weird that he would say something like that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Yeah. Just you dig at me. You dig at me and it's fun and games for a little bit. And then I'm going to have to lay the hammer down.
Enough.
Enough. Enough is enough. But yes. Yeah. So no,
we'll have a good time.
Oh, it'll definitely be a good time. I knew that there wasn't a crazy amount of information that had come out in the last few days. Obviously, there were some tidbits, and I'm sure we'll, like you said, before I get to Hawaii, it'll be a bombshell that's dropped. But good to have a few updates becoming slightly more clear.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do, Adam. I'm going to need your GM, your consulting hat, your coaching hat. Mm-hmm. To figure out which way I'm going to go, because I'm still trying to figure out whether I'm going to go PPA, APP. Lots to be determined still, and not a lot of time to figure it out.
That's for sure. The crunch is real, and it is a little stressful. I remember this last year.
It's a really tough spot for players because I went into the intention of next year having a full APP schedule. So locked in partners, which we do, typically quite far in advance, and kind of lined it up all in my spreadsheet. And now I have a similar, Google spreadsheet, but a new tab that says PPA 2023 schedule and that whole schedule if I go that route. So problem being is this is creating a bit of a nightmare for players because – for example, I haven't committed to either, but I had a mixed partner that I was going to play with for the first five on the APP. And she said, peace, I'm going to the PPA. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're seeing a lot of that, right? Where I'm going to be scrambling for partners, potentially they're going to be scrambling for partners. It just creates this like logistical nightmare in a sense of having to figure it all out again.
No, I agree. And I've talked to several people who are in a similar situation where it's locked in here, locked in there, things change. And it's there's a lot of people that love to line that stuff up early, get all their ducks in a row. And when a little chaos comes into it or one of their partners shoots over, it's total like, totally frantic, start sweating a little bit, wipe off the brow sweat because, everything was set and now it's not. So definitely a big factor. And
Adam, partners are a big deal.
You think so?
I mean, I'm not sure if the listeners necessarily understand how big of a deal it is. It can determine whether you make money, don't make money at all next year. It's a really big deal. Locking in somebody that you feel like you have a real shot at, getting in the money with and earning a real living with, because pickleball is super unique in the respect that, I don't care how good you are. You can really put somebody on an island and there's not a whole lot you can do sometimes in terms of helping them get off that island. So
very, very, very true. And you're exactly right. From a play and monetary perspective, but also from a perspective of, this is a grind. You just talked about playing 25 to 30 tournaments. If you don't, I'm not saying that you have to be 100% always in sync mentally with your partner, but if you're playing with someone who kind of breaks your spirit a little bit, don't have the back and forth or the personality mesh, by the end of that year, you're going to want to kill yourself. I promise you that. So it's a big factor matching up physically and how your games go together. You want to have that success and make money because that's your job. But at the same time, you have to have some form of mental vibe connection as well. Otherwise, you're going to get burnt out way quicker. So it's all a factor.
I think the listeners, whenever you say vibe, they take a shot.
Oh, they take a shot? Well,
yeah,
there's going to be some drunk people at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
I hope you never stop using vibe. The more the merrier.
Vibe,
the more the drunker, apparently.
Yeah, if it's vibe and obviously, my God, there's going to be some drunk people. I hope you're taking shots of beer, not liquor, because I say those two a lot.
And this podcast is a vibe, Adam.
It is. Okay. All right. So, Adam,
I think we hold. So we've had a lot of people asking for this. Annalise coming off another triple crown. I believe it's the seventh on the year. And you talked about how absurd it is earlier, like the manner in which she's doing it. And it's not incredibly competitive, right? I know they lost their first game in the gold and the women's, but then kind of cruised the next three. So people are curious on where Anna Lee would stack up in the men's rankings. And I've got a take on this. I know you do. Talk to some other top men, male pros. They have a take on it. And I think some of them would surprise you actually in terms of, how high they put her.
Yes, totally.
So I think we get into this a little bit more when we have our guest on, Adam. And sure. I don't think we've told anybody that we have a guest coming on, but we do.
Yes.
And he's first male guest as well, because we had Leia on a couple episodes ago, which people love hearing different pro perspectives. And and we have a newcomer to the scene this year who's, you know, doesn't seem like he's that new anymore because he's been around for so long this year and played so much and done well, gone deep into tournaments and started off really strong in singles, transitioned a little bit more into getting good mixed results, and now he's getting men's results. So kind of gone full circle in terms of progression, and excited to have you guys see who that is shortly here.
Mm-hmm.
What a teaser. My God.
What a teaser. So you said we're waiting to talk about the Anna Lee thing.
Yeah. He's we're going to wait to talk about that. I mean, you can give me your thoughts, Adam.
Let me see here.
Okay. I'm just going to add this young
bring
man.
Him in. Bring him in.
All right. Mr. James, welcome.
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm just glad you're just so professional. You're not in your, sorry, no offense, Leia, but you're not in your car. You're not on grainy Wi-Fi. And you're drinking a Starbucks. Well, what are you drinking from Starbucks?
I'm drinking an Irish cream cold brew, venti.
Delicious.
Have you had a Celsius this morning?
No Celsius, but
all right.
It's still early. Made fun of for it for sure. But usually I'd actually get a, sometimes I'd get like a caramel macchiato, some stuff where it's just like, just don't say my name, just say the drink. I'll go up and get it. I don't want them to be like venti iced white mocha for James. Nah.
I just do that order on the app, so nobody's saying anybody's name, and I just go.
There you go.
Slyly pull it off the counter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome. I just teased you a little bit, James. I didn't not teased you, but I gave the people a little tease of who we were having on without announcing you. Just kind of giving them the update of we're having somebody on that's not new to the scene anymore, but new in respect to this year, and had great results in singles right out of the bat, then kind of progressed in mixed, and now has come full circle and is getting results in all events. And probably one of the, and you've started to do a lot of content with the Selkirk crew and those guys, and people seem to be gravitating towards it. So welcome.
Thank you. Yes. Big deal. Me and Anna and, I think this is the podcast that me and Anna listen to the most, for sure. So
I like that. Well, yeah. There you go. James, starting off strong. Let's go. So, but yes, I agree, Rob. And I think that, James, I don't know you very well, James, but you definitely have a little likability to you. It's kind of a non dick swagger is what I would say. So you have a little swagger. Like he's not a dick. Like I'm going to beat everyone. I'm going to destroy everyone, whatever. It's kind of playful. It's kind of lighthearted. But at the same time, I think you do have some pretty solid confidence in your game. And so, I think that's something that people gravitate towards. So that's great.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, the whole non-dick swagger thing, it's important. you look at my post. Did you see my last Instagram post?
Well, what was it? No, I did not.
So basically I played the PPA in Orlando, and in my, whatever it was, back draw singles match, I played against Christian Alshon, who's known for having similar, non-dick swagger, except without the non part of that. So I checked the post out. The caption was like, awesome weekend in Orlando, fourth and mixed with Jackie, singles went well. And fortunately I was able to defeat Christian Alshon 15-6. And my third slide is like a highlight of the match point. And then like it zooms in on his face after the match. So
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
See, it's
and you hands on the hips. He's upset.
And, and you have to have a special. You have to have a special personality to get away with that. You know, like some people would post something like that and be like, "Oh, he's an asshole." You know that? Yeah, exactly. But if you have that kind of that personality that you can get away with stuff like that, people really love it. So, that's definitely excellent. The non without the non part in there. Yeah, that's good. So James, let's before we get into, you know, maybe some spicier stuff, why don't you give us just a little bit about your sports background, kind of your schooling situation. And I know you're still in college, and just kind of give the people a light little background about yourself.
Yeah, so I played tennis my whole life, played tennis in college for the first 2 years. At Vandy, Vanderbilt in Tennessee. And now I still go to Vanderbilt. I am currently a senior, or I'd be going into my senior year because I took a gap semester. I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to take a gap year off before my last year to just kind of focus on pickleball. Because, you know, we don't know how long, like pro pickleball is going to have this much money in it, if it's going to be successful. We don't know what's going to happen. So I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm just going to try to go hard this year and see what happens. So,
yeah, maybe you just don't go back at all. Who knows?
That would be the best case scenario for sure.
I think it's a really interesting point though, James, because I think pickleball has a lot of staying power and I don't see it going anywhere, but we really don't know. So is this kind of a slight bubble where a lot of money and advertising and whatever is getting pumped in and then it's going to fall off a little bit, or is it just going to keep rising? So I think that's a very important something that you brought up, because it really is completely up in the air what is actually going to happen moving forward.
So true. It's a really valid point. One that like hasn't been talked about very much, honestly. We have so many, there's so much hype right now. There's so many celebrity and investment groups, you know, throwing money into MLP teams and to the tours that, hey, it's tough to say whether this is going to be like a legit viewership sport where real advertising dollars will come in based on media deals and media rights and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, if let's just say these investors that invested in MLP don't see a return, right? And it's a few years go by and there's no return. Like they're smart business people. They're not going to just do it because it's fun and they're losing money, right? Like they're investing because they're expecting a return. So if that return doesn't come and that money goes away, what are we left with? So I think and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's a very real possibility that it could go that way. So super valid point in terms of capitalizing and taking advantage right now as it is here.
I mean, I think first of all, nobody's watching, right? There's like 2,000 people that are watching the streams. And even some people are saying that like the PPA might be inflating those numbers. It's like, well, if they're inflating it, they're using like 100 computers. And it's like, it's really not. So first of all, yeah, nobody's watching. I've got like 3 fans and I don't really think. It doesn't really seem like it's generating any money right now. I don't see how it would be. And I think the only way that it's going to really have any staying power is like a pro sport that people watch is if people start betting on it. Because, I'm still in a fraternity in college, and there are so many people in that fraternity, including myself, that will bet on anything that gets shown on that little bet slip. Like there's, you know, over the summer last year, I got really into betting on like horse racing and like my friends were betting on like, I don't even know, curling. So if somebody sees pickleball, you know, they're going to be like, oh, let's do it. You know, let's hammer. Like, so it's definitely going to happen. But without sports betting, I think it's going to be impossible. Like, I think that's the most important thing.
No, I agree 100%.
Yes. I mean, I had a buddy who spent a summer gambling on under 18 South American soccer. So people want to gamble on stuff. They absolutely want to gamble on stuff. We talked about Jay DeVilliers and Johnny Goldberg. They couldn't handle it. They just started flipping the coin for $5 a month. So, you know, people want to gamble. I remember when I was gambling a little bit, won some fun bets, and then also with fantasy sports. And that's the only reason I was watching anything. I wasn't watching just to hang out and, you know, see a team that I didn't give a shit about. I had a stake in the action, and that is a huge deal for people to get eyeballs on the sport. So I like that a lot, and I think it's coming. I know that there's a was it FanDuel or DraftKings or something that is starting to get in the mix with some advertisements, but once we get some real stuff we can click on and put some real money on, I think that that is really going to help the situation.
And it's pretty wild. Yeah. It doesn't take a lot of, like, people get so upset. Like, I'm just thinking about fantasy. Like, people will put $100 in for the league for the year, right? We're talking 5 months of your life where you're studying football, like, almost daily, checking in on it for $100 for the 5 months. Right. So it doesn't take a lot of money for people to get really, really invested into a sport. So I just, I find that fascinating in terms of it wouldn't take a lot. It would just take the door to be cracked with betting for, I think, more eyeballs to flood in.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing that we need. Like, and especially if you've got people doing content like you guys, and I think that would make a lot of money for some people too. Like, if I know Duper's they might do the odds. I was talking to Jill. She said something like that. Like, her Duper ratings would do the odds. And there could be, like, you know, for example, like, you guys could have a website that does your own predictions. You look at ESPN Fantasy Football, there's so many different websites that have, like, predictions and this and that. And I think that would be the biggest way to generate buzz. Because right now, with the whole the tours being like tennis, and you just show up and there's 100 people at the event, and all of those people are just playing the amateur event. It's kind of a charade. It's like, there's not really any value created. It's just a huge, and then maybe there's like 5 people there that are like related to the players, and that's it. Yeah. So we need gambling. We need something. So,
but honestly, dude, I'm just thinking about that in like relation to like pro tennis at, call it like a 250 or the lower levels, not even challengers, but like 250 ATP tournaments. I remember going to, there was a stop in Atlanta when I was a kid that I would always go to. And even if you look on TV now, like these 250 events, like, unless it's like the finals, like, these stadiums are empty. Like, nobody's going to watch these. It's insane. So it's not just a pickleball problem. I think it's also a tennis problem. Nobody's going to watch these and buying tickets. And you're right, it's a bit of a charade, because, you know, these stands are full because people are in between matches of their 3.5 bracket, you know, 35 plus, and stopping in to watch the main court. So, and I think, you know, tennis is still doing fine. I mean, not, maybe some of these individual events aren't going to be able to maintain, but, you know, tennis as a whole, not going anywhere. And I think, I read a stat where tennis is the most bet on sport in the world, over soccer even. So I think you're absolutely right in terms of, you know, betting will change everything.
Yeah. I think it's, I think that'd be huge. But I also think one of the things is this, it's like, people say that pickleball is like not really a spectator sport. And I think there's definitely some merit to that. But I think that if you can just increase the participation of pickleball so much, I think there's going to be a lot of people that watch, because, like, is soccer really a spectator sport? I don't think so. When I watch, I'm like, this sucks.
No. Yeah.
Baseball, I don't think baseball is a spectator sport, but there's people that watch it just because there's so many people that play. So if you've got 30 million people playing pickleball or whatever it is, there's going to be a lot of people that watch it just because they play it. So it's never going to be the spectator sport that football is or basketball is, but that's not really a problem. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I think, like, what I see with people, even in Hawaii right now, it's like, you know, they come in, start playing pickleball for the first time, don't really know anything about the sport, but, you know, they want to get better. They're taking lessons, going to clinics. And then naturally what you do once you kind of got the bug, and we see how easily it is to get hooked into playing pickleball. Like, it's really addicting, and it grabs people early on because they feel like right away, they're like, okay, I got this. This isn't as hard as something like tennis. And then once you start getting a little bit better, what do? You go on YouTube and watch some videos, and then you're like, eventually I want to see how the pros play. And I think you're absolutely right, James. I don't think we don't need viewership just from random people that have heard about pickleball. It's going to be from participants. It's going to be from people that are playing, that want to get better, and then start following pros based on having experience playing the game. And then I think once you actually understand the game, you want to watch it and you want to see the pro level and see what they're doing and see how they're playing, because you understand the game now. So yeah, I was talking yesterday in this Twitter spaces. I know Anna was trying to get on, but had some issues, or Johnny had some issues, but, we were talking about, shit, I just lost my train of thought. Too much coffee.
Is that a thing? So you got to find the perfect balance, huh?
I don't know. Well, okay. Let's carry on. Good God. I literally just had like a mind meltdown.
I like it. I think that's good stuff. I'm not the only one. Okay. No, that was good and important, topic, especially kind of the, we've talked about it before. Can we get the participation to a number where it doesn't matter, or are we going to need people that don't know much about it to watch? And I think that that's yet to be determined. And if it gets up to that 30 million number by whatever date it's supposed to, I'm not sure it really matters either way. So, So James, you're down in Delray Beach. Is that correct?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your crew and your practice situation, and kind of what you do down there, what you plan on doing down there, taking this year off from school.
Yeah. So it's basically me and Anna and JW and Georgia. We've been practicing with Anna Lee a lot more recently. She was always down to practice with like me and Christian. Christian's down here too. I try not to practice with Christian too much because I don't want to help make that guy better. But I think we definitely, it's her and she usually wasn't really practicing with other girls that much, but now she's kind of starting to, because Lee got hurt. So it's like, what is she going to do? You know, we're the group, and she's just kind of joining us. Then we got my friend Dave, who has only played like a couple tournaments, but he's getting really good just because he was like a former D1 tennis player. And now he's just playing with me and JW every day. And he's like, he's playing like 8 hours a day. So you guys are going to see him pretty soon. He's just too broke to afford registration fees. So we're figuring that out. But that's pretty.
Dave's last name?
Carvalho. He actually played minor league pickleball. And he did pretty well. He's still learning it. And, him and JW are like best friends. Like JW loves the guy. It's hilarious. Like you should see JW around him, because it's not, not what you see, public, you know. It's like totally opens up and it's really funny, but that's the group. Yeah. We play every day, pretty much like twice a day. I do that. I play like, I'm just so addicted to pickleball. Like I'll play rec with them like twice a day, and then I'll go drill with Dave or whoever it is for like an hour and a half. Not even because I'm so like obsessed with getting better. Like I want to get better, but I just really just love playing. Like I love feeling the ball. I love just getting out there, and got nothing better to do. So it's like, I basically, I never loved tennis like this. Like I really love pickleball like so much. And that kind of played a big role in me taking the year off, because it's like, I would, even if I don't go back to school or whatever, or if I, you know, whatever that case may be, like I'm fine just going out there and teaching if I get hurt. Like, I just want to be out there. I just love pickleball that much. So yeah, Anna thinks there's something wrong with me. Like I'm totally obsessed with it, like over the top more than anybody else. But, that's kind of my training situation. So.
Yeah, I remember at Major League Pickleball, you guys had a tough little, you know, a tough kind of heartbreaking loss, wherever it was. I think it was the semifinals. And then sure enough, like 4 minutes later, you're playing 2-on-1 singles against 2-4-5s. I was just like, man, this kid's a champion. He takes a tough loss in a huge spot, and he's playing 2-on-1 5 minutes later. That's pretty impressive stuff.
That was actually after the Dream Breaker against the Bus.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, gotcha. We won that game, or we won that match, and I hit like that shot on Eric Lang, like the forehand from 3 feet behind the net, baseline, And there was these two guys, you know, Chris Olsen, like the Pickleball Studio and Pickleball Will.
Okay, yes, I do.
Yeah, they're two, like, you know, Pickleball Will's good. He's like a 4'5". He's like, yeah, they're both like 5'6". And Chris is like, Chris is more of like a studio guy. He's really like a 3. He's still kind of learning the game. He's like a 3'5". And they were like, you won't hit that shot against us. And I'm like, I bet I will. And then we just went and played like 3 games. And so that's kind of.
So the only thing I got from that whole story is you got something against people that are 5'6", James. What's up with that? I kind of fall in that category.
Down further.
All right. So also, James, can you tell us anything about your partner situation for next year? If you can, great. If not, we will move on to the next question. What's up?
Yeah. So it's kind of weird because there's like people are changing. They're going from the APP to the PPA really quickly. Things are just kind of all over the place. So I really don't know. I do know that as of like a couple days ago, I was set up to have like for mixed, I had some absolute stud partners. It was a couple tournaments with Andrea, a few tournaments with Anna Bright, a few tournaments with Jackie Kawamoto, Jade Kawamoto, Susanna Barr, one tournament, kind of just mixing it all around because I wasn't really sure. I mean, I've seen so many of these partnerships that go for like a whole year and it just ends pretty badly. Not always, but sometimes. And I didn't really think, I mean, especially since I'm so new to the game and I didn't really know, you know, what's going to work out for me, like with my style, who's going to fit the best. So I wanted to mix that around. And then in men's, I've got a few tournaments with Greg Dow, if you know who that is. Mm-hmm. He's good. He's like a good right side guy. And it's funny. He's like 6'5", and he's like a good athlete, and he just doesn't play singles, doesn't play mixed. And when he shows up and he plays the right, like you know, 40% of the court. Yeah. And
he's got a good counters, yeah.
Yeah, good dinks. He's good. And then I had a I was going to play 5 tournaments with Federico too. But now we're not sure what's going on there. So it's just
different tours. Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely up in the air, but I'm not really. Yeah. I mean, I don't really drop anybody. I've never been, I'm just not good at it. I feel like I'm too nice of a guy. I feel bad. I actually had a tournament for like 5 months. I had committed way too early to Neil Meterada, and I had some like great player. And I was just, not going to drop Neil Meterada, even though you know I wanted to. He knows I wanted to. I couldn't do it. I couldn't drop Neil.
Yeah.
But no, he's a good player.
Can you tell us your Discord handle?
My Discord was Neil Meterada's belly button for a while.
Oh, that's, I love that.
Yeah, I don't really
it's just such a good visual of like how deep, like how deep of a well that thing probably is.
that belly button scene, the potato chip.
Maybe that's why you stayed with them, is because you knew you were going to get free Lay's potato chips all day during the tournament. So, you know, whatever. So I looked back through your tournament history a little bit. There's not a lot of it, maybe about 20 or so. I think your first one, James, was December of last year. And so you played several with Anna, had some mixed results, some good, some bad. How do you feel about overall playing with your significant other? And if you guys have the right personalities to kind of make that happen, because a lot of people, including myself, have kind of crashed and burned in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we do. I think it's been fine. I think we do just because we're both pretty, like I don't really, let my ego get in the way of things. I'm kind of like, pretty aware of like how to be a good partner and how to not say the wrong thing. Cause I've just seen it so much with like, you know, just little chippy remarks that partners will make to each other. And you just don't want to make that to your significant other. That's for sure. So I'm pretty good at kind of just, I'm really good at being wrong because I'm wrong so often that I'll just accept it. Like, okay, I'm wrong. You know, like I, that was wrong by me and I'm good at that and I can just do it over and over, but she's not really, you know, we're both pretty aware of, how to approach things and what's the right thing to say. And, I think you have to be, you can't really be kind of insecure about your own game or insecure about your results or anything like that. Cause if you are, then it's going to be, it's going to end up being bad. But next, yeah, I guess I can say that. I'll say this. So next year we're not going to really play together, but it's not because we didn't have fun and we didn't play together better or anything. Well, it's because she has found a way better partner. And I can't talk about who that is. But just know, she has a really, really good partner for next year. So
if I had to guess, and I know nothing about anything, I would say it could maybe even possibly be Riley Newman. I don't know. That's my guess. I have no idea. We'll just throw that out there. But anyway, that makes sense. You know, something better comes along, or, you know, if whether you guys had a good vibe, there it is. Take a shot, everybody. A good vibe on court or not. The family's got to make money. So if, you know, Prof found somebody good to play with, I just got to pass her along. You know, you got to do it for the family.
Yeah. For the fam. I will just say that if, hypothetically, you know, if Riley asked Anna to play and if Riley was like, yeah, let's go beat up on Anna Lee and Ben and just make Ben hit a lot of backhand counters. I wouldn't say no. I would be like, yeah, go do that. I'd love to watch that happen. But I don't think that, I mean, do you think Ben and Anna Lee are the favorite against Riley, hypothetical Riley and Anna? I don't know. I honestly think maybe not. I mean, can Ben keep up in hands? Can Colin's brother keep up in hands? Didn't look like he could against Anna Lee and Riley at Nationals. It looked like he was freaking out, and it looked like he was getting dominated by a 15-year-old girl. Ooh, we might have to edit that out. But
Nope. Keeping it.
It looked like he was getting dominated, and it was actually, I felt bad watching that match. Because it was like, this shouldn't even be, like, I shouldn't even be allowed to watch this. Like, this is public. Like, this is, and I, it made me think, like, Riley and Anna Lee shouldn't play next year because it just wouldn't be fair. Like, Ben and Anna Lee, they do well enough, but if Riley and Anna Lee played together, it would just be, it wouldn't even be fun for anybody.
Yeah. So. It was 3-0-3, right? It was just an absolute, it looked like a first round match.
Yeah, and it was like they didn't discriminate going at Catherine, going at Ben. They would just go at whoever, and it was working every single.
I'd probably take Anna and Riley. Like, not probably, I would take Anna and Riley.
Yeah, I think so. Riley, man, his last 6 months, man, the guy has stepped up. He's got a little extra length than Colin's brother, and he has that pancake, which. Flat forehand pancake is flat out the best shot in pickleball. I don't care what anyone says. So I think it's super reasonable to think that they could be the favorites over Colin's brother and Anna Lee, which is kind of wild to think that could be the case. But I'm with Rob. I would take them, not, you know, not at a crazy percentage more than Colin's brother and Anna Lee, but I would take them over 50% of the time for sure.
He's got faster hands and he's got more power. I mean, who wins in skinny singles, Riley or Ben? I think Riley. I don't think Ben keeps up in hands. I just don't. I would take Riley. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's what I would take.
Uh-oh, looks like we lost Robert. No big deal. We don't need him. So we actually, James, we had a question from, I believe it was on one of the YouTube chats about where Anna Lee would rank in the men's game in singles and doubles. And a lot of my rankings, when I do the rankings, it's a combination of results, my personal play against them. And I have a lot of people throughout the game and very high ranked players that I trust their opinion and kind of put all that together. And so my first inclination when I saw that this comment, this question was that I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but I would not put Anna Lee in the top 50 for male singles. And my comment was for doubles, I would put her somewhere between 40 and 60. Where would you say this is never going to be happen. It's super hard to quantify this, but where would you think Anna Lee would rank in men's singles and also in men's doubles?
Oh man, I think you're way off in the singles. I mean, you've got to be. I've played her many times in practice. I don't think there's 30 guys out there that are good at singles on the men's side. There's just not. Maybe not even. I mean, I've played singles against everybody at the highest level of singles, and I've played Anna Lee many times in practice. And I think Anna Lee is right around. Like I've played who's like a middling, like a guy like Alex Newman. Anna Lee could beat a guy like Alex Newman. I think I've played both of them many times. And of course, Anna Lee's not going to beat me. And she's definitely not going to beat really anybody in the top 15 of singles or 20 of singles ever. Just because, I'm not, you know, that's crazy to think of. But I think there's going to be guys like Alex Newman that she would beat. I think she could rank probably, 25, maybe. I think she could win a few matches. I mean, she's definitely in singles going to beat a guy like Grant Bond. She's going to beat Grant Bond. I don't care what Grant says. I will take every deal I have, which isn't much, but I'll take all the cash that I could find, and I'll put that on Anna Lee Waters.
Can I get in on that, please? Can I get in on that, man?
So then where do we, the question becomes like, where do we rank Grant Bond? Like 30, 35? Cause she's also a better competitor than these guys. Cause she's been at the top of the game. She's winning so much. She's got so much experience winning that she's going to dig deeper than a guy like Grant or Alex. And she's going to probably end up closing it out in three, something of that nature. So I would say in singles, she's probably 25 to 30. Okay. But that's such a changing situation because singles is crazy with me, like, or with a guy like Christian Alshon. After I played singles for like 4 weeks, I was already, you know, looking back level wise, I was probably like 20 to 25 because singles just come so fast. Like for me, my singles game was there really early. Doubles takes a long time. I mean, I'm still not even there in doubles really, but singles was like super fast. So singles, 25. Doubles, though, I don't know. I mean, you ranked her at 25 in your list, and I wasn't on that list. And that, you know, I was like, I got to go dink. I'm going to go hit some drops.
Yeah, I think it is super hard. And I haven't competed against her for probably a year and a half. So it's tough. That's why I wanted to kind of get some get someone like you talking about it, who's very adept, especially at the singles game. And then also some other PPA players that have played her quite a bit in the last year. So it's a wide range. I've had a couple people kind of put her around where I said, and then a couple people said, you're crazy. She ranks way higher than that. So I think it's a pretty cool discussion, even though, you know, we're probably never going to, you know, get anything tangible to really be able to know.
I think it doubles. Oh, sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, like, my final help just be, I think she'd be probably 40 to 50. I think doubles is right, just because there's more guys that are good at doubles. I think that 40 to 50 is probably right. Yeah, that'd be my thought on that. But
I agree with you, James. There's been some very, very good players that have put her in like the top 10 of guys. But the way I have to look at it is just, so I think about like, if there were, because it's different in women's, the game's different. Like if you're playing men's, you stay on the line. Like a lot of the firefights in women's are like, you know, three, four feet off the line. So you have a little bit more time. You can cover a little bit more court back there. I like to look at this argument is if you had two Anna Lees, just an Anna Lee and an Anna Lee clone playing, let's call it two of you, James, like you would never lose that.
No.
Right. You would just never lose that. Just, you know, so I think when you're looking at, you know, when these guys are saying like she'd be like a top 10 guy, it's not quite the same. Like, so these guys are playing her in mixed, right? Where she's protected a little bit. She can play off the line a little bit, even though she moves, like she's right there, right? Like her, you can't question her ability and her skill. It's ridiculous, off the charts. Like, but if you're talking about playing, you know, two guys playing two Annalies, I, it's just not the same.
Well, mixed is a different dynamic because just like you said, you know, guys leaning, the guys trying to take more court, so it exposes their backhand if they're a righty. Annalise covered, she's covering 35% of the court. I think one of the things that you can pinpoint is like maybe Annalise is not elite at this. It's her dinking. Her dinking isn't amazing. And I think that's probably just because her hands are...
No, but what, you know, I think what he said makes a lot of sense. And, you know, a lot of the points about her, you know, mix being a different dynamic. She's a little more aggressive with her dinks, but you never really see her grind. You never see her grind to dinks because she doesn't have to. She's just
she's always pulling the trigger.
Yeah, she's always pulling the trigger. So, you know, I know some of my numbers were a little low, but I let's be clear. Annalie is an absolute monster. I love her game. I think she's ridiculous. Big gap between her and the next girl. So I know my numbers seem low. Maybe I could come down a little bit on that. But either way, she is a beast, and I just love everything about her game.
I mean, 7 triple crowns speaks for itself.
Yeah, decent play from her. So, yeah, that's sad that we lost James. Oh, there he goes. He's popping back in. Oh, you got the Christmas tree. Look at
it's
you.
It's festive.
Yay. That's good.
All right. Last we heard from you, James, you're just saying if there's one kind of weak spot in Annalie's game, it would be dinking.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't really call it a weak spot. I just think she's like necessarily elite at it. Jesse Irvin. And I think that's probably because her hands are so good that they just bail her out. Kind of like a Riley. I mean, you don't look at Riley's dinks and think about how amazing they are in quality. But a lot of Annalise dinks are like bait dinks. They're kind of just, you know, please attack me. And that won't work if there's two Annalise versus two me's or two, you know, somebody of that nature. So I think she'd probably adjust, because the thing is, like, Annalise probably also got the ability to be better. She just hasn't been tested. So her dinks would get better. I mean, she's not going to be like two Callan Dawsons, but she would be, I think her dinks would get better. And I think that she'd be tough, but I think a lot of the things that work for her in the women's game probably wouldn't work in the men's game, because her hands and power aren't going to bail her out.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly right. The question is, playing how she plays, just like James said, would she make the adjustment and play the line a little bit more, maybe grind dinks a bit more, you know, because he's exactly right. She's dinking to create a lot of that are hard rolls cross court where some 6'4" guy's just going to reach out and neutralize that. But does she have the ability to grind more dinks and play a more, you know, men's style game? Absolutely. I'm sure she does. So like I said, it's fun to talk about. Probably never really going to get to see it. But man, she's tough.
Yep.
So what else you got, Adam?
I have the last thing for James is I have some rapid fire quick hit questions, which
I really, really like.
So why don't we just jump in there? You cannot think too long on this, James. There's probably a couple you're gonna have to think on, but rate your pickleball obsession 1 to 10.
10.
Chipotle or Panera?
Panera.
Beach or mountains?
Neither. Pickleball court.
Who impresses you more on court, Dylan or Dekel?
Dylan.
If you were playing a tournament with Anna Bright, would you prefer that she wear leggings or a skirt?
Skirt.
If you had to date one of us, would it be Robert or myself?
Rob, because he's better. I don't want to bring you home to
Sorry, Adam.
Best shit talker in the game, Riley or Matt? Or you?
They're both great. I think Riley. That's close.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's all I got. That was 8 questions. And actually, this will lead up to the last topic because the fans really love this, and I'm sure James has no idea, Robert. So there was a little jawing at the end of game one in the men's doubles final, and two of the main contributors were Colin and Riley. So just a little history here. There was a tournament about 3 years ago, I believe it was 2019, the World Pickleball Championships. And it was a pool play situation. And what happened was, at the time, Colin was one of the better singles players. So what happened was Riley was playing a weaker player, and he apparently tanked points to that player so that Colin would not advance into the pool play because Colin was a better player. So Colin very, very much did not like that. And so they have a little beef that goes back 3 or 4 years. Now, I don't know if that beef has like held on these 3 years.
Yes, but it has.
Yes, but just a little behind the scenes fun fact. If you ever see Colin and Riley go at it, because I'll tell you right now, Colin is not, he's not the shit talker type. He's kind of the guy that, you know, you say, screw you, Colin. He goes, well, maybe screw you. He's not sharp. he's not a crap talker. But he had some words for Riley at the end of that game one. And so that's just a little fun fact, a little piece of information from back in the day.
I saw that. I thought it was hilarious. Me and Anna love to go watch the finals of men's. And we were a game late. We usually watch the whole match, but we came in like right after that. And we were just we were kind of disappointed that we missed that. But just on the topic of trash talk, I think we have to give some credit to Travis Rettenmeier.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I think he could be better than Riley and Matt in this regard, just because he brings a little more, I think he's got a little more swag. He's a little bit, I think it's just a little more disrespectful in a good way. It's like in the right way. Like and granted, I mean, the last couple of times I've beat Travis, I've beat him pretty convincingly. So I don't really know if I've gotten the full experience, but in the bronze medal with Steve, and I was playing with Steve and it was against Travis and Wes, and he was talking a lot in the first game, and Steve was like speeding up at Travis, and Travis was like, I thought I told you, like some stuff like that. Like, you know, like it's hilarious stuff. So
I thought I told you.
Yeah. 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 And also, James, I remember talking to you, and you had a matchup. I don't know what it was, maybe quarterfinals, second or third round, something like that, where you knew you were going to play Matt and Riley, and you planned out some crap talk that you were going to do during that match. Is that accurate?
A little bit. I mean, I was just joking around with Federico, like stuff we might say, just because we figured we were going to lose anyway. We at that time, especially like 3 months ago, we weren't even in the realm to like beat those guys. And we just wanted to at least have fun and say something stupid. And I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things I said, pretty sure Matt heard this, but I know Riley heard this, was like, I lost a hands battle to Matt. And I was like, I can't be losing hands battles to a guy that's 44 and bald. Like just trying to get. And I think I called him the bald eagle. Something like that nick started.
This is great stuff. And this is my last question for you, James. Do you know who Philip Locklear and Tavon Morrow are?
No.
Philip Locklear, Tavon Morrow.
This is the first name, Philip Locklear. It sounds kind of familiar. Why do you ask?
Well, in St. Louis, you and Fed lost to them. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Locklear? We lost to those guys?
St. Louis, you and Fed. Just, you know, I've been tooting your horn a little bit throughout this pod. I just had to, you know, bring you back down a little bit. I never heard of those guys either. So, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Dude, me and Warren to Manha, we just lost to like 2 weekends ago, we lost to two guys that were like 4 or 5s in the back drive. Games. I'm right there. I can lose to anybody.
Hey, you said being self-aware is one of your best qualities. So there you go. There you have it.
Yeah.
James, singles, mixed, or men's?
Not
why?
Definitely not singles. It's probably still mixed. I love mixed. I think singles is just too, you guys know why it's not singles. It's too boring. It's too, physical, too hard.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's just not, it's not as rewarding. I mean, it's not really what pickleball is. Like, pickleball is doubles, you know. Yeah. Single just serves, returns, and who wants it more. And, that's pretty much it. And it's just not really, I don't know. I feel like pickleball is like a doubles game. That's what it really is. And like, I was good at singles. I'm still good at singles just because it's more like tennis. But I think I'm starting to think men's is my favorite event now, just because it's the highest level game. You can't bail yourself out. There's no real shortcuts. You can't just hit like some dumb speed up and then get bailed out by your own hands because there's a girl in front of you that's not really ready for it or can't handle it. I think men's is kind of the most, I think it's the best. I think mixed is really fun, but I think men's is cool because.
Okay. Well, if we don't get him back, the Adam Stone quote, that is one of my favorites. And he usually says it before tournaments when we're practicing the day before or a couple of days before. And well, usually it's on singles day and we have mixed the next day. Mm-hmm. And Adam Stone will go, "Robert, do you know what the best practice for mixed is?" Like, "What, Adam?" "Men's." And then we would proceed to play a men's game instead of
to hide from our mixed partners and find a backcourt and play men's.
James, you there?
Yeah. No, I think men's is the best practice for mixed also.
See, he knows. Well,
it's like, if it's going to work on a guy, it's going to work on a girl usually. So that's all it is. I mean,
yeah. Unless it's Anna Lee, apparently. So, yeah. Also, I have another pretty solid James story. I was commentating the Chicago tournament. James, had some battles in singles. He was a little under the weather with his fitness. And I had to interview him after a big win. I can't remember who he played, but you beat someone that was very good. And I go off behind the bleachers and James is losing his lunch. He's throwing his guts up a little bit. And I just, you know, lightly touch him on the shoulder. I'm like, James, don't worry about the interview. We'll just bypass it. And good luck, you know, in your next match. And he just jerks his head up with red eyes, saliva dripping from his mouth, and he goes, "I need this interview."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "Okay, James, no problem. Come over here and let's get it done." And, you know, I thought that was lovely.
JW, and I told JW before the interview before the match that whoever wins this match has to, like, we're going to have like a fake beef. We have to like talk mad trash in the interview. After the match, we thought it'd be funny because I wanted to see what he had to say. Like, I thought he was going to win. So I wanted him to, like, you know, try to roast me. And then I won. And then I had to.
He's back.
Sorry, guys. I told you
it's
I'd
all
have
good.
Leia. And
all good.
But I wanted to talk trash to JW. I thought it'd be funny. I had some good stuff to say, I thought, and then I just kind of forgot it right when the interview started. Just totally.
No, you threw him the classic line. You just wanted it more than he did, James, and that's what it boiled down to. You just
that's right. I remember that.
But yeah, I enjoyed it, James. Some good topics there. Maybe we'll run this back a little bit. And I got my new rankings coming out at the end of the year. You might squeeze in there on a couple lists there, kid.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
Legendary. Yeah.